Well, hello, this is Thompson Smiley with another of the series where I take my monthly Louisville magazine series, Smiley's Picks, live into the studios of WOL. And my guest today is Jeremy Cohen, who is the director of Tom Sawyer, coming up at Actors Theatre, just opened October 4 and still running through the 29th of the month. Jeremy, this is the second adaptation. This series, the season opened with John Jury's adaptation of Sense and Sensibility, and now we have another one with Tom Sawyer. Is this a good sign, or is this a sign we're running out of original material and we need to go on revisiting our childhood?
I think it's wonderful, and I think also because, you know, with the adaptation of Dracula and with Christmas Carol, I mean, I think you're actually seeing from Bram Stoker to Dickens to Twain to, you know, Jane Austen. It's a wonderful, I think, actually step forward for the theatre. If the ritual of theatre has always been about telling story in some kind of way, and to have looking at this whole span of work that the Louisville audiences get to connect with, it's not sort of just educational and academic and dry, because I've seen a couple of these other adaptations and they're beautiful, and each approach storytelling from a very different vantage point. Mm-hmm. I think for Laura Eason, who's the adapter and playwright of The Adventures of Tom Sawyer for our production, you know, for she and I, so much of it has been about how we can approach this particular story with a sense of play and playfulness. Mm-hmm. Unlike Huck Finn, right, which is always so much about, there's a lot of morality, there's a lot of lesson learning and sort of boys growing up and becoming men. Tom Sawyer is, you know, the end of the story after all of the wonderful adventures and episodes and some really horrendous things that sort of happened to them. At the end of it, they still go back into that cave and they find buried treasure, mm-hmm. and they live happily ever after. Mm-hmm. And so in some ways for us, it was always about framing the story with how we can engage the audience in either bringing young folks who are seeing the story kind of back in time a little bit, away from sort of Xbox and iPhone and all of that, and folks that are adults, you know, sort of to really connect with that part of themselves of play and playfulness that I think sometimes we leave aside.
Yeah, and there's more, I think, to this bifurcated level thing. I think people of a certain generation, Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn, were very much part of their growing up and part of their education, not just in America. I mean, I grew up in Glasgow, where Scotland, where most of the highly intelligent employees of actors come from. And there, Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn were established parts of our literary heritage, you know, along with Robert Burns and Walter Scott and boring people like that. But I think in America, maybe we've lost some of that. I think there's probably generations of young adults who just don't know Mark Twain and his wit and his way with words and his sense of adventure and a sort of American innocence long ago lost. Is that true?
I think it's very true. I also think, you know, one of the things we wrestled with is, of course, when you take a text that's so iconic for so many people to have read it or who recently read it for the first time, depending on who you are and how old you are, one of the things you're always wrestling with is nostalgia and yes. sort of these iconic stories, the resurrection scene when they come back from Jackson's Island and they're not dead after all and they've played the greatest trick ever on everybody, or Injun Joe in the cave, and, you know, sort of all of these things. How does one, either as a 13-year-old or as a 53-year-old, you know, sort of deal with those kind of emotions? And so, and keeping them really immediate and dramatic and theatrical. And sometimes I find when I'm watching adaptation that it can be, that nostalgia can sort of recess you as an audience member, and in that it can sort of have a disconnect. Oh, you're asking me to go back long ago. And actually, rather than just sort of the historical aspect of that, what's the emotional aspect? What's that emotional journey?
Yes.
Do you know?
Yes. Is this a function, do you think, of a kind of loss of confidence in our own generation, or sort of feeling of decline and fall of the American Empire, that we want to go back to those roots? Mm. Or has it always been part of the human condition, this sort of benign atavism, if you like, this longing for things past?
It's interesting. I think it's a wonderful question, because I think we struggle with it in a, you know, not to be, you know, too ubiquitous here, but I think in a post 9/11 world where for Americans to see something shift that is so immediate and so visceral on our own soil, and then to shift what, you know, how do we sit with notions of fear or protectiveness, or what are the things that are really important in our soul and our soulfulness, right? Is it our family? Is it our children? Is it our friends, our colleagues, our work? Is it, or is it money? Is it how fancy your iPhone is? Is it how, which, by the way, I love my iPhone. And, but how do you sit with, you know, I was at a wonderful restaurant called Harvest here the other night over on Market Street. And we were just sitting in with the waiter talking for 20 minutes about sustainable, you know, agriculture and how Louisville's really, and the greater Louisville's really wrapping itself around that whole notion.
While the food got cold.
Well, oh, I know, it was terrible. But wonderfully, she reheated it. So it was quite good after all. It was the best restaurant I've been to in forever. But I think, you know, sort of those notions about how we as Americans embrace what is inherently truly important to us. And again, in that, in your heart, what's important, that to me is what Laura and I were working on with this adaptation, meaning instead of trying to take us back and just saying, oh, remember what it used to look like when there wasn't this technology, which feels a little didactic. It's sort of about when you felt fear as a kid and it was your first time experiencing things, mm-hmm. what did fear feel like? Or what did falling in love and you were sure that this person was going to be the person you would marry, whatever that meant before you knew what getting married meant, right? And here
How
we are.
Quaint.
How quaint. So many years later. So I think those notions are what we really both, is what we were striving for in the adaptation. And also what I hope that when audiences come to see it, it's where audiences who are both, I have a son who's now 9, who was 7 when we made the show, and he used to sit and watch it and say, oh my God, Pop, that's not scary enough. You need to make that scarier. Or, ew, gross, he's going to kiss a girl, you know?
Yes.
And I love
that.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love those visceral responses. But I have to tell you, sitting with, I have a friend who's, I think he's about 72 or 73, and he and his wife came to the show one night back in Hartford when we did the original production, and he had the same exact response as my 7-year-old son. And I thought, how wonderful that we've found a way for every kind of person to meet on common ground, the universality of emotion and the first time of something.
You mean the same response as your son or the exact antithesis, because he'd be inclined to say, ooh, ah, this is scary, and then, oh, how nice, they're kissing. I think the universality of these, it's not exactly mythical. I mean, on a standard with the gods and, you know, of ancient Greece and Rome, but these great characters that Twain created are the kind of American archetypes, aren't they?
This
part of America's mythology, really.
I'll let you in on a little actor secret. This is what we were talking about the other day in rehearsal, is that what I thought was, what I, and I especially think now here in 2011 is so beautiful about Twain, is that he really, it's not so much that in his sort of stabbing at institutions, he was talking about humanity, but really what makes it more active, this was a good acting note, I think maybe the only one I've given last week, was about human behavior. And that, so when we're looking at things like the education system and sort of the relationship between parents and children and religion and, you know, all of that sort of stuff, that's where I think he was so brilliant in sort of both his highlighting of it, his elevation of those institutions that are classically inherently American, and perhaps a bit of assassination.
Well, thank you very much. My guest has been Jeremy Corn, who's the stage director for Tom Sawyer, which is now opened at Actors and will run through the end of the month, through October 29. And as we well know, the telephone number to call, 584-1205 for tickets. Jeremy, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me. See you at the theatre.
Indeed.